Well, we are facing a massive escalation towards thermonuclear war with Russia, and Putin has just responded to a damning new plan by the White House to launch long-range weapons inside of Russia, teaming up with the United Kingdom to pull all of this off. So we'll get to Putin's response here in a minute. I just can't believe we didn't have a deeper discussion about nuclear war during the debate the other night, because here we are on the precipice of nuclear war. Here, according to Politico, with this exclusive report, White House finalizing plans to expand where Ukraine can hit inside of Russia. The talks have been closely held among a small group of officials inside the White House. And over the past 24 hours, we've had the deep state puppets running the White House have finalized plans to expand the war against Russia. We've been reporting, of course, that according to our sources here at Redacted, that and what Politico is now confirming, which we've already been saying here on this show, so they've actually confirmed this. David Sachs, tweeting this just a few minutes ago, says the White House is ready to greenlight the use of American missiles to strike targets deep inside of Russia. The Russians have made many ways to retaliate. We are taking why are we taking this risk? Ukraine is neither a treaty ally nor vital interest. Biden himself once warned this could cause World War III. Yes, that's exactly right. An attack against Russia in this way would launch World War III. Here was President Biden in 2022 saying,
the idea that we're going to send in offensive equipment and have planes and tanks and trains going in with American pilots and American crews, just understand, and don't kid yourself, no matter what you all say, that's called World War III. Okay? Let's get it right.
It's going to be World War III. When President Trump said that, they treated him like he was crazy. Like, calm down, sir. Calm down.
Yeah, Trump during the debate was the only one. He's like, we're talking about nuclear weapons. We're talking about nuclear war. And he was saying it almost like into a vacuum.
Because certainly ABC was not interested in listening to it. Escalate the conversation. Absolutely. At all. No, they were worried about fact-checking him about violent crime, which they were wrong about. So they're absolutely unfocused on anything that matters.
So just so you understand, here are the details. Let's go through this Politico piece, which is stunning. We're talking about war with a nuclear country. White House finalizing plans to expand where Ukraine can hit inside of Russia. The talks have been closely held among a small group of officials inside the White House. White House finalizing these plans to ease restrictions on how Ukraine can use U.S. donated weapons and better protect itself from Russian missiles, according to a Western official and two other people familiar with the discussions. The details of the plan are still coming together, but officials in Washington, London, and Kiev have in recent days discussed expanding the area inside of Russia that Ukraine can hit with American and British-made weapons. They also discussed how to prevent additional cross-border attacks by Russia, including U.S. agreeing to allow Ukraine to use U.K. long-range missiles that contain American parts. So these current conversations are ongoing and significant, and it's a significant change to our current foreign policy. Now, Jake Sullivan is highlighted here. Back a number of months ago, of course, was on the record with Jake Tapper, lying to Jake Tapper, saying that we're not going to escalate sending F-16s. And then a few months later, he got on the record with Jake Tapper, and Jake Tapper was pissed. And Jake's like, you basically lied to me. You told me in February that you were not going to send F-16s, that this would be a dramatic escalation along the ladder to war, and you said you wouldn't do it, and now you're doing it. So you're basically lied to me. What changed? Oh, well, we've always been sort of examining the dynamics of the war and kind of looking at things. And
what
deciding.
Do you call this? Mission creep. There's a word for it. It's happening. Mission creep.
It's disgusting, and it's deeply troubling. And is there a bigger story in the world right now? I mean, just so you understand the details here, we're talking about war with a nuclear country. And I guess the United States is okay with that because Europe would be wiped off the face of the map first. And, you know, America loves that idea, right? Just like they did with the Nord Stream pipeline bombing. They destroy the Nord Stream pipeline, send Germany back into the dark ages. Economies in ruin. Business is closing. Drives up the American dollar. Drives down the euro. The United States sends barrels and barrels of natural gas because, well, the Nord Stream pipeline's blown up. So now you need to buy it from us. Right? Europe would be wiped off the face of the planet first, and make no mistake about it. Just so you understand the details here, the plans of which are already being rolled out, This is like we're hearing about it now. This is already in motion, guys.
Well,
this is a massive escalation towards nuclear war.
In the newsletter today, we linked you to a call for a study from the Department of Defense asking for contractors to study the effects of fallout on agriculture in Europe from nuclear war. So we know Europeans, you won't be eating unless you like radioactive eggs. We don't give a shit. We're just going to study it and see how it then affects our food supply, if it, in fact, will reach the capital of Panem.
Well, yeah, we're going to get more of a deep dive on this nuclear angle in just a second here. So Vladimir Putin was just asked about this escalation from NATO, the United States, and the UK. And the reporter asked him very directly about this escalation. What does this mean for Ukraine now to have these weapons to launch inside of Russia? And Putin, you know, he explained, he's like, look, you have to understand, first of all, Ukraine can't do any of this by themselves. They don't have satellites. They don't have these weapons. All of it is being orchestrated by NATO. And there will be consequences. Watch.
Но когда речь идет о использовании высокоточного оружия большой дальности западного производства, это совершенно другая история. Дело в том, что я уже об этом говорил, и любые эксперты это подтвердят, и у нас, и на Западе. Наносить удары современными высокоточными системами большой дальности западного производства украинская армия не в состоянии. Она не может этого делать. Это возможно только с использованием разведданных со спутников, которыми Украина не располагает. Это данные только со спутников Евросоюза, либо на Соединенных Штатах, в общем, с натовских спутников. Это первое. Второе. И очень важное, может быть, ключевое, заключается в том, что...
This is the most important part. Pay attention.
В эти ракетные системы могут, по сути, вносить только военнослужащие стран НАТО. Украинские военнослужащие делать это не могут. И поэтому речь идет не о том, чтобы разрешать украинскому режиму наносить удары по России этим оружием или не разрешать. Речь идет о том, чтобы принять решение о том, что страны НАТО напрямую участвуют в военном конфликте или нет. Если это решение будет принято, это будет означать не что иное, как прямое участие стран НАТО, Соединенных Штатов, европейских стран в войне на Украине. Это их прямое участие. И это уже, конечно, существенным образом меняет саму суть, саму природу конфликта. Это будет означать, что страны НАТО, США, европейские страны воюют с Россией. А если это так, то, имея в виду изменение самой сути этого конфликта, мы будем принимать соответствующие решения, исходя из тех угроз, которые нам будут создаваться.
Well, shit.
So, guys, we are, I mean, just so you understand, this sort of ratcheting has been up a ladder. And just so you understand the threat escalation here, I've heard a lot of people talking about the RAND Corporation's threat escalation ladder lately. And if you haven't read this document, it's well worth reading, the RAND Corporation. This is from 1984, the concepts and models of escalation. And again, it's really fascinating to go through this. I encourage you all to read it, and you can find it easily online. However, this is exactly, I'll sum it up for you here. We put together this handy little graphic so you understand exactly where we are in the threat escalation ladder scenario right now. So we are sitting right now at, well, you start at the top here, diplomatic pressure.
So you descend into hell.
You descend into hell.
It's not basically a ladder you're climbing. It's a ladder you're descending.
Exactly. You're going down
oblivion.
Into hell.
Okay.
So if you start at the top, right, diplomatic pressure. Okay, you've got diplomatic pressure, then you've got economic sanctions, you've got covert operations, right? So economic sanctions, of course, hit, you know, that's actually destroyed the United States and Europe, all of the economic sanctions against Russia, they didn't work. Covert operations, we've highlighted here on the show, the special military operations, the special operations forces in Ukraine carrying out operations against Russia, American soldiers being killed, French soldiers being killed, Polish soldiers being killed in covert operations against Russia, attacks inside of Russia. That's already happened. Then you have limited military action. That ship has already sailed. More than limited military action, active involvement from NATO. Then you have a regional conflict. Okay, regional conflict into full-scale war, followed by nuclear war. At each level, we are hitting each of these markers now. And by the way, each of these markers, President Biden and the Biden administration told us we would not hit, that we would end with economic sanctions. No, American soldiers are not going to be involved in any kind of covert actions. That's a lie. Then limited military action. Oh, F-16s, NATO forces, American forces on the ground directing these traffic, launching these missiles, these HIMARS missiles and others. Regional conflict. How much higher do we need to go? I mean, this is it's all unfolding right before our eyes. Where is this going to end? And certainly they do not want President Trump to be president of the United States. He was the only one during the debate that said, stop this, put an end to this. Yeah. I have said repeatedly, regardless of where you come down on it, whether you're a Trump fan or not, they will not allow him to become president of the United States. And this is why they will not allow him to become president of the United States. They want this to continue, and they want direct conflict with Russia, a hot war with Russia. And they're about to get it. And Kamala Harris, when she's elected, because you know the deep state wants that, this is going to escalate into a full-scale war and then potentially a nuclear war. And Europe will be wiped off the map first.
I mean, think about where your head goes around this. Like, am I safe where I live? But even if I am, do I want my government killing people with nuclear war? Can I live with that? You think about the food supply. You think about everything that we are feeding into now and being distracted by it with culture wars when we really have very few options to vote for peace because it's being taken from us. We're going to talk more about this sort of fictional dystopia that we find ourselves in that is reality and how the rhetoric around war is just being hidden from us. But we've been warned about it. So we're going to talk about that more in the show. Well, but thank you for that graphic, Clayton. That was terrifying.
Yeah.
And it's evident with, you know, all the endorsements coming out for Harris, what they're wanting to do, you know, with Cheney and Bolton and all those people. So it's clear that they know that Trump is not going to do their bidding and they want war. So now they're all on the side of Harris.
I saw this liberal person on X saying, hey, look, we've got Dick Cheney and we've got Mike Pompeo and sort of like, look, we, you know, look what this says for us. And I'm like, girl, do you know those people? But you're that's the not same, the flex you think it
see,
is.
Did you happen to see John Stewart's reaction to that? John Stewart did that where he was talking about Tulsi Gabbard supporting Trump. And he's like, OK. And then he said, but hey, we've got, and then he's like, Dick Cheney. And it just like cuts to him and he just got like this like total like, you know, WTF look on his face. And it's like,
right.
Well, Ted, you recall 10 years ago, of course, liberals were, I mean, called him a war criminal. They called him Darth Vader, right? I mean, he was the embodiment of evil. And I still think to this day, he is the embodiment of evil. I mean, I think he's a criminal. I mean, he's a war criminal.
They embraced a movie by Christian Bale. They would not be able to do that now.
Right.
This was a film
a Hollywood
that
film.
Showed about how we contracted the Iraq War for greed and gain and based on a lie. And now that person is a marquee endorsement of your candidate. Maybe you want to think about the war rhetoric that's being sold here.
Johnny Freedom in our Rumble chat says liberals have 2-week long memories, like a goldfish, I guess. Yeah.